Odell here. It appears someone has made it to the final installment. I pray that you have thoroughly enjoyed Faith Boosters as much as I have enjoyed making it for you. Now, I promised you right at the beginning that I would give you free access to the three-part series, Faith with Works, Works, as my gift to you for completing the program. And it would appear you have, because here you are. So congratulations. Please take advantage of this complimentary gift. I can assure you, you are going to really value this resource. It deals with the importance of you taking your responsibility to take action and not leaving everything up to God. Now, I was impressed to create this series because so many people have this false concept that every single thing that happens in life is up to God and His will. And the problem with that is a lot of God's will doesn't come to pass because people think, okay, I can just let go and let God. But not everything is up to God. Often the ball lies in your court. For example, 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants to save every soul. Yet men perish daily without coming to repentance. They were meant to be among God's harvest. Now, if it's not the will of God that any man perish, then it is His will that every man be saved. Now, you tell me, does God's will always come to pass? No, it doesn't. Why? Because in this case, God has given you and I the responsibility of gathering His harvest for Him. So, in some instances, God's will coming to pass in our lives is partly dependent on our efforts. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. So it's not only God's will that you pray, but also that you will be a laborer too. There are people whose salvation is dependent on you approaching them. It's not the will of God that they perish. But if you don't do what God impresses you to do, they won't have a shot at salvation. You get the point. Now, on the other hand, there are some instances where there is nothing for you to do and all you can do is wait on God. It's outside of your power to do anything except pray. And in this case, there are people who keep trying to interfere and do God's job when they should stay out of His way. So then the relevant question is, when is it appropriate for you to work and when is it appropriate for you to let go and let God work? And that's what I'll be addressing in this video, and I'm going to try and keep it short and sweet. Romans chapter 11 verse 6 deals with the distinction between grace and work. Now at first, I found it was a bit of a tongue twister. But after reading it a few times, it began to become clear. It says, if something is done by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Now, I believe God's grace can be seen in everything we do. Whether the outcome He desires for us is dependent on our trust in Him by waiting on Him, or whether the outcome He desires for us is dependent on our efforts, God's grace is needed in both situations. However, there are times when we act inappropriately. When we try to get involved when God hasn't asked us to, this is the work of the flesh. And when we don't get involved when God has told us to, our faith without works is dead. And I'll cover this in a three-part series. Now, when we get involved when God has asked us to, it is faith by works. When we don't interfere where God has asked us not to, it's by His grace. Do you follow? Now, I'm going to share with you some examples from Bible stories, the difference between dead faith without works, works of flesh, and faith by works. First, we'll deal with dead faith without works. One name comes to mind, Jonah. Here's a man who has been told, speak to the people of Nineveh. And what does he do? He runs away. So what he's done is he has avoided responsibility. He has now decided, I'm not going to do what God has done. Now this is dead faith. Then we have works of the flesh. Now another name comes to mind, Abraham. Abraham was told that he would be the father of what? Many nations. And so he sort of lost faith and he took Hagar, who was his wife's maidservant, and he bore child with her, and you had Ishmael. Now, we're still seeing the conflict between Ishmael and the son that God had ordained for him to have between the Jews and the Arabs. See, that is works of the flesh, where we get involved when God has said, listen, let me take care of this. Now let's look at faith by works. You remember the widow when Elijah was being fed at the brook, and then there was a famine that came upon the land, and then he was told to go to this widow, and this widow was to feed him. And so what she had to do with her faith was she had only a little bit of meal to make cakes with, and she was going to make her last meal for her son and her to eat, and they would die. But now in this case, her faith required works. What she had to do was make Elijah cakes first, and then she would eat. And each time, she would have to go in faith, and then when she went to make food for herself, there was enough meal to make some for her and her son. And every time she went back to get the meal and the oil, there was enough there. Now, she had to go by faith every time. That's faith by works. And then there's another story which comes to mind. The woman who was a widow, and her husband basically left behind a lot of debt. So she was now in a position where she couldn't pay the debt, and the people who she owed money were going to take her sons as bond servants. Then what happened? She went to the prophet, and the prophet gave her instructions on what to do. See, she had to have faith by works. So what she had to do was go and borrow some vessels, and then she began to pour oil into the vessels. And when she did that, she had enough to pay the debts and then also live off the rest. See, this is faith by works, and in each case, instructions were given. God spoke and impressed upon people what they needed to be doing. So this all really boils down to you listening out for the voice of God. When you pray for wisdom on what to do to determine whether God wants you to work or wait on Him, how often have you waited for His answer? Do you pray and leave, or do you pray and sit still and wait for a response? When you do, God will impress upon you what He would like you to do. Now, by studying Scripture and listening to what God impresses on your heart, you will be able to discern what God wants you to do. And you will know when you're doing something wrong, because you will feel something bugging you. If you are meant to be doing something and you aren't, or you are interfering when God just wants you to sit back and trust He is working something out, either way, you will know. Really, the main issues here are, first, the importance of staying in your lane, and second, avoiding trying to do things in your own power without God. Whether you are meant to do something or not do something, you need God's assistance. In every case, whatever He tells you, remember and recognize that whatever you involve yourself in and set your hand to do, you need His blessing for it to prosper. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all thou settest thy hand unto. and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. If you see success from your efforts, always remember it's God blessing your efforts. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now I looked up the Hebrew word for might, and that word is hail, used as a general term to cover a plethora of things. It describes strength, capability, skill, valor, wealth, goods, etc. Now, I also looked up the word for power. It's koa. This word is used to describe strength, power, might, and ability, often in reference to physical strength and the vigor of good health. Or sometimes it's used to describe the ability to accomplish an action. So what God is saying is that when he accomplishes anything through you, it's not by your strength, capability, skill, valor, wealth, or goods, neither is it by your health and physical strength to complete or accomplish an action. It is by my spirit. By my spirit, God says. Psalms 44 verse 3 says, for they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. Deuteronomy 8 chapter 17 verse 18 says, for you say in your heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. God bestows upon us a rich measure of wisdom and grace. When the mind of man is brought into communion with the mind of God, the finite with the infinite, the effect on body and mind and soul is beyond estimate. In such communion is found the highest education. It is God's own method of development. Acquaint now thyself with him is his message to mankind. God tells us, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. It is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And God wants good for you. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favour my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. When you have done all that there is to be done, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Remember, it is not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. By my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So rest in the Lord. Hear these words from Psalm chapter 37. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth the righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. The steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Wait on the Lord, keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. The Lord shall help them, and deliver them, and save them, because they trust in him. What needs to ultimately happen is you need to lose confidence in yourself. Every time you do you tell God, I take better care of myself than you. I am my own Lord. Yes, God has given you power, and praise God for it, but rejoice not in the possession of your power and ability, lest you lose sight of your dependence upon God. Be careful lest self-sufficiency come in and you work in your own strength, rather than in the spirit and the strength of your master. Self is ever ready to take the credit if any measure of success attends the work. Self is flattered and exalted, and the impression is not made upon other minds that God is all and in all. The Apostle Paul says, when I am weak, then I am strong. When we have a realization of our weakness, we learn to depend upon a power not inherent. Nothing can take so strong a hold on the heart as the abiding sense of our responsibility to God. We are to come in touch with God, then we shall be imbued with his Holy Spirit. While you look higher than yourself, you will have a continual sense of the weakness of humanity. The less you cherish yourself, the more distinct and full will be your comprehension of the excellence of your Savior. The more closely you connect yourself with the source of light and power, the greater light will be shed upon you, and the greater power will be yours to work for God. The church is built upon Christ, the Word, as its foundation. It is to obey Christ, the Word, as its head. It is not to depend upon man or be controlled by man. The rock of faith is the living presence of Christ in the church. Upon this the weakest may depend, and those who think themselves the strongest will prove to be the weakest, unless they make Christ their efficiency. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. The Lord is the rock. His work is perfect. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. I pray that this has made clear to you the differences between dead faith without works, works of flesh, and faith by works. People do get confused sometimes and often cause themselves more problems than are absolutely necessary. So it is important that you bear in mind the differences. It really can be the difference that makes or breaks your success. Now, as you can see, you can actually download the audio version of this video if you wish, so you don't have to keep coming back to this page to hear this message. Anyway, this video was supposed to be short, so I'm gonna go. Enjoy faith with works. It will certainly be a blessing to you. It's really going to help you be a raging success, I can promise you. I'll catch you later.